Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Ann Stephenson Yang to help us understand headlines from Bloomberg Asia. And a very good day to you. I read them as a cavalcade of gloom. China growth disappoints as Beijing hints at muted stimulus. One. Wall Street cuts China growth forecasts as economy disappoints. Two. China property investment drop deepens as Beijing vows help. Three. Europe stocks fall on China's slowdown. And what I see on Bloomberg now is the reporting that you've done for years on the Chinese economy. Are you surprised that there's such unanimity now at Bloomberg and other important wire services that China's economy is in trouble? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yeah, isn't it interesting? Because in Q2, China's economy grew 6.3% on GDP, and yet all the reporting is negative because it was a very bad comp, because a year ago, there was a total lockdown in Shanghai, and Shanghai is a very large portion of the economy. So it's not that it's not right. It's just interesting that the whole world has turned around on China, and they're not willing to get excited about the big numbers anymore.
The headline that I'm keen on is China property investment drop deepens as Beijing vows help. You've been the reporter on China property for years. Now the West notices it. Does China notice it? Do they understand their property collapse is not going to reverse itself within a reasonable time, that it might be a generational crush?
I think it's more than a generational crush. And yes, I think that the mandarins in Beijing understand that because they haven't poured stimulus into the economy. They've done a lot of property rescue, but they haven't done, you know, a massive, massive stimulus. And that's because I think they understand that the property sector is not coming back. And so the negative effects of stimulus would be very severe. What's interesting to me is how negative everybody feels about the economy now.
Gordon, I have a question for Ann.
And I think one part of the reasons, although it's just a technical one, is that throughout second quarter, and I think the 6.3 number is overstated, but whatever, we saw throughout the quarter a marked deterioration in the economy. And the June numbers were disastrous when you look at them across the board, disappointing well below expectations, but also I think showing fundamental weakness, as you point out, in the Chinese economy. The question is going to be, where is China going to be in Q3?
Yeah, so there is a very marked deterioration. I think one of the things that people miss about China is that it's very responsive to the international currency situation. And as U.S. rates have risen, China's goose has gotten more and more cooked in its pot. And so unless the U.S. were to go back to a zero interest rate policy, I don't think China has much chance of coming back.
The buzzwords, Ann, for some time have been de-risking, decoupling. These headlines don't mention any of that. Therefore, nothing really from the point of view of the U.S. or our European partners has triggered this. Is that correct? The property collapse, the cutting forecast, that's all on the basis of the Chinese business plan, not anything the West has done.
I don't think it has anything to do with the West, John. It's, if you notice, the export performance is very weak. That has really nothing to do with the West other than demand. Property performance is very weak. And very significantly, business confidence, the PMI, all of these measures of consumer confidence are very, very low. I think part of it may be that unemployment is quite high. So we have reported over 20% unemployment among youth, but in the rural areas, which aren't counted in unemployment, we would estimate around 25% unemployment. And those are people who fill about 30-40% of city service jobs, so it's very visible.
Gordon, you have a question.
And Andy Collier, whom you know well, has just issued a note on these numbers and talked about how China realizes its structural problems and therefore is unlikely to go to major stimulus. But does China have any other option? Because it seems to me exports aren't going to be there. Property, as you say, is not coming back. Consumer spending throughout Q2 was very weak. What can they do?
Well, I think that what we're seeing is the end of the Chinese Politburo's ability to manipulate the economy and to manipulate confidence in the economy. And that's got to be very disconcerting, both for the Chinese leadership and for the Chinese people. But I don't think they can do anything, Gordon, without significant political change. And I don't see that that's going to happen.
I tell the story, Anne, and I've told this story to you before, but I repeat it with a twist. Of factory owners in the Pearl River Valley calling up their best customers and saying, can you pay us ahead of time for the first quarter orders of next year? They're out of cash. They're desperate for cash. Why, I'm told, is because they can't pay their workers. They can't hold on to their workers. So the unemployment number must be staggeringly higher because they've only told us 20% for the youth coming out of universities. Do you have any hint of what the number could be in the Pearl River Valley? Not the whole country, just where the electronics are.
I really have no idea, John. And, you know, the Chinese unemployment numbers are widely criticized for being, for all sorts of reasons, even ridiculed. But I have no way to independently know.
And that story, does that tell you that the unemployment is climbing? How to interpret that you can't pay your workers?
Well, I mean, we don't know how broad-based that is. As I say, I think in rural areas, surveys have indicated that it's 20 to 25%, and that's two-thirds of the workforce, so that's quite significant.
Gordon, you have a question.
And there's evident pessimism among the Chinese people, as we can see by the surging Chinese migrants coming across our southern border. The question is, do you see that there are going to be significant capital outflows from China in violation of their currency controls, or will Beijing be able to stop the outflow of money?
I feel that money is like water. It flows downhill in the end, and so people find a way. So back in the 1960s, when Maoism became so strident, there was what we now call the bamboo network of Chinese capital around the world, particularly in Southeast Asia, and I think that really helped build those economies. Now it's going to be 10 times as big.
And you're thinking right now about why we're watching this Chinese, it's not a collapse, it's a shrinking. It's a recession, Anne. Can they use that word in China, recession? Because it means that there's going to be revival.
Well, it's not a recession as long as GDP is growing and the economy is still being force-fed with investment in order to keep institutions from collapsing and to keep, a little bit of construction activity continuing. So I'm not sure we can call it a recession. I do think that the Chinese leadership is searching for solutions, but the solutions are not including what really has to be done, which is a total removal of the hukou system of rural-urban apartheid and a shift of income to the household away from companies. That's not going to happen.
Anne Stephenson Yang is author of the new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.